It's an awful lot in that reading. We can't cover it all. So I want to look today at Benjamin. But before I do that, let us pray. Abba Father, we just thank you for the word that you've given me today. I pray that you'll open our eyes so that we can see wondrous things from your Torah. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your presence, Yehovah, because you are my rock and my redeemer. And I ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. So what I've called the message today, I've called it the message of Benjamin. Benjamin means the son of my right hand. Benjamin is one of the 12 tribes, or the last tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel. It was named after the youngest son of Rachel and Israel. The first 10 tribes were the sons of Leah and the two handmaidens of Leah and Rachel. The last two tribes are Rachel's, Israel's most beloved wife. Rachel died in childbirth, breaking her husband's heart. Benjamin's name also means wonderful. So I believe that even in death, the death of Rachel, there is a wonderful message for us here today. If we go to Bereshit chapter 35, verse 16 to 20, it says, "Then they set out from Beit El and came to Be, where there was but a little distance to go to Ephrat. Then Rachel began to give birth and had great difficulty giving birth. And it came to be as she was having great difficulty giving birth that the midwife said to her, 'Do not fear, for it is another son for you.' And it came to be as her life was going out, for she died, that she called his name Benoni. But his father called him Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrat, that is Beit Lechem, and Yaakov set a standing column on her grave, which is the monument of Rachel's grave to this day." Now, Benoni means son of my sorrow, because she gave him that name because she was dying. But Israel renamed him Benjamin, son of my right hand. Like son of someone most dear, one's right hand, Israel wanted to remember a child was of the wife that he loved the most. Do you remember when Rachel stole the idols of Laban? Even though Laban didn't find them, Yaakov said, "Whoever took them should die." Do you remember that? And then Rachel dies in childbirth. It was as if it was prophesied that she would die. It wasn't a surprise that she would die because she did the wrong thing. And I believe this is why she died in childbirth, because it was prophesied over her for doing the wrong thing. We are not children of sorrow, but we are children of He who is very dear to Yehovah Elohim, the Son sitting at his right hand at this very moment, Yeshua HaMashiach. Benjamin was born near Beit Lechem, in English Bethlehem, also known as Ephrat. This was where Yeshua was also born. I believe Yehovah has a message for us all that brings great comfort, and that's why I'm calling it the message of Benjamin. Did you ever notice when Israel was dying, he called his sons and prophesied over them? He prophesied over the whole 12. What did he say when he came to Benjamin, the last son? We go to Bereshit 49:27. And it's a very strange prophecy, in my opinion. Benjamin is a wolf that tears. In the morning he eats prey, and at night he divides the spoil. Now I'm sure that I wouldn't have appreciated that kind of message from my dying father, but that's what he got. I was blessed. I got a beautiful message from my father. This has always been a strange prophecy to me. But Benjamin's name actually meant something notable. And Shaul describes himself as a man from this very tribe. In Philippians 3 and verse 5, Shaul says, he's speaking about himself, circumcised the eighth day of the race of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, according to Torah, a Pharisee. And in Romans 11 verse 1, he said, I say then, has Elohim rejected his people? Let it not be so. For I am also an Israeli, of the seed of Avraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. It is interesting that Benjamin's prophecy said he would be a ravening wolf, devouring the prey in the morning, but at night he would divide the spoil. Was this prophecy over Benjamin actually speaking of Shaul? When we really think of what Shaul did, Shaul the prophet was a great preacher of the explanation of the good news of hope of Yeshua HaMashiach. But Yehovah gave him a powerful relationship about why Yeshua had to die and what effect it had upon each and every one of us. Since the Ketuvah HaShelachim, or the writing of the apostles, is primarily written by Shaul, for the most part, Yehovah uses Shaul in a mighty way. He was a big part of Yah's work for the assembly of the Messianic believers. The pictures of Benjamin and the people in the Tanakh or Old Testament who came from Benjamin's tribe seem to foreshadow much of Shaul's great ministry of explaining the good news of hope of Yeshua HaMashiach. True to Benjamin's prophecy, Shaul was like a ravening wolf in the beginning. He was originally named Shaul of Tarsus, and during his pre-believing days, or his encounter with Yeshua on the road to Damascus, which is Damascus, he persecuted the believers like a ravening wolf and devoured the prey. In Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, it says, but Shaul, still breathing threats and murder against the taught ones of the master, having come to the high priest, asked from him letters to the congregations of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, that is the way of Yeshua, whether men or women, to bring them bound to Jerusalem. The second part of the prophecy to Benjamin stated that he would divide the spoil in the evening. In the evening, that is in the later part of Shaul's life, Shaul turned completely around and divided the spoil with the Messianic community. As a preacher, he divided the spoil. He shared it and gave it to all. In Acts chapter 9, verses 3 to 6, it says, and it came to be that as he, Shaul, journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light flashed around him from heaven, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Shaul, Shaul, why do you persecute me? And he said, who are you, master? And the master said, I am Yeshua, whom you persecute. It is hard for you to kick against the prods. Both trembling and being astonished, he said, master, what do you wish me to do? And the master said to him, arise and go into the city, and you shall be told what you have to do. Yehovah then spoke through the Ruach HaKodesh to Hananiah, or you may know him as Ananias. In Acts 9, verses 10 to 16, it says, and there was at Damascus a certain taught one by the name of Hananiah. And the master said to him in a vision, Hananiah, and he said, here I am, master. And the master said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, and seek in the house of Yehuda for the one called Shaul of Tarsus. For he looked, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Hananiah coming in and laying his hand on him so as to see again. And Hananiah answered, master, I have heard from many about this man, how many evils he did to your set apart ones in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all those calling on your name. But the master said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before nations, sovereigns, and the children of Israel. For I shall show him how much he has to suffer for my name. Yehovah saved Sheol, and Sheol heard revelations from Yah and learned from Yeshua himself about the reasons why Yeshua HaMashiach died. Sheol did great things for Yehovah's kingdom. The scriptures also tell us that Yeshua HaMashiach spoiled the principalities by stripping the rulers and authorities of their power. And we read that in Colossians 2, 14 and 15, saying, having blotted out the certificate of debt against us by the dogmas which stood against us, and has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the stake, having stripped the principalities and the authorities, he made a public display of them, having prevailed over them in it. The spoil is the reward from the devil, or Hasatan. When Sheol accepted Yeshua as his Yeshua, that is his salvation, he was saved and he divided the spoil. He shared with everyone how much victory we have in Yeshua HaMashiach. Sheol said, we are in Mashiach. If we are in him, we are in union with him. We are not children of sorrow, but we are children of the right hand. The son of Israel, called Benjamin, was Yosef's brother. The same Yosef who rose to power in Egypt after his brothers sold him as a slave because of jealousy of him. And when famine came and Israel sent his sons to Egypt for food, Yosef was amazed to see them. He actually commanded that Benjamin come. Benjamin was sent to Egypt, and Yosef hid in his sack a silver cup. We read that in Bereshit 44, 1 and 2. And it says, and he commanded the one over his sack, saying, fill the men's sacks with food as they are able to bear, and put each man's silver in the mouth of his sack. But put my cup, the silver cup, for his grain. And he did according to the word of Yosef, which he spoke. And in verse 12 of the same chapter, it says, and he searched with the oldest and first and the youngest last, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Now, there is a wonderful message here. It doesn't sound wonderful, but it actually is. The metal silver was symbolic of redemption in Scripture. It was silver, the silver cup that they put in Benjamin's sack to force them to return to their brother. They didn't know it was their brother, but they had to go back to Yosef where all is revealed. Sheol, the Benyamini, had a message to preach. And we need to know that Sheol said about Yeshua, and there are many great truths in there. Not every message is for us, but there are a lot that are. Because remember that when Sheol wrote all of his different books, they were written for the people of the towns or the places that he wrote to, concerning the conditions that they were living in and the gods and the idols they were worshipping at that time. In Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, but we do see him who was made a little lower than the messengers, Yeshua, because of the suffering of death, crowned with esteem and respect, that by the favor of Elohim he should taste death for everyone. Yeshua tasted death for every man, woman, and child. Anyone that believed in him, he tasted death for them. His work on the stake, his resurrection. He prayed in the garden What did he pray? Take this cup from me. Once again, the cup of redemption. He wanted that taken from him. Yeshua was going to drink the cup of becoming all of us. He became sin for us. He became us who were sinners. And he drank of that cup, even though he longed for it to be taken from him. Shaul preaches this union with Mashiach's message. He would write letters to Messianic communities after Messianic community, letters that we have in our Brit Hadashah or Ketuvah HaShalakim. He would explain the death of Yeshua was what it was all about. You died when Yeshua died. I've spoken on this many times. The empty silver cup means that Yeshua drank the entire contents and tasted death for all mankind. We need to understand what that means. I know we've spoken of this before, but when the scriptures say he died for us, it means that we therefore died. We were crucified, we did die, we were buried, our old nature has been killed from us. And I think that's what is so wonderful and important about coming on Thursday, with 11 people dying to self and in the Feast of Dedication, committing their lives to Yeshua by being fully immersed. It's a beautiful time to do it. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Or do you know that as many of us as were immersed into the Messiah Yeshua were immersed into his death? We were therefore buried with him through immersion into death, that as Messiah was raised from the dead by the esteem of the Father, so also we should walk in newness of life." Romans 6 verse 6 says, "Knowing this, that our old man was impaled with him, so that the body of sin might be rendered powerless to serve sin no longer." And in verse 8, "And if we died with the Messiah, we believe that we shall also live with him." Notice what is said of Yeshua in verses 9 and 10 of Romans 6. "Knowing that the Messiah, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer rules over him. For in that he died to sin once and for all. But in that he lives to Elohim." And in verse 14 of the same chapter, "For sin shall not rule over you, for you are not under the law, but under favour." Notice the scripture says you are not under the law. Not being under the law means that you are not bound by legalism. This does not abrogate Torah. Torah is not the law. Torah is Yehovah's instruction to his children. So many people think that because we worship on Shabbat, because we read the Old Testament scriptures, because we observe the Tanakh feasts and festivals, we're under the law. We are not under the law. We are Torah observant. They're two different things. And yes, your Christian friends will attack you about being under the law, but you're not. You're definitely not under the law. I think someone's trying to get in. They didn't know to pull the door back. Sin and death have no more dominion over us or Yeshua HaMashiach because we died with him unto sin. As I said, Binyamin means son of the right hand. Yeshua ascended after he resurrected. And where did he go? Ephesians 1, 10 to 20 to 21 tells us, "Which he created the Messiah, he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenlies, far above all rule and authority and power and mastery, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. That is, in this world or in the world to come. And we also read that we ascended with him too, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. It says, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with the Messiah. By favour you have been saved and raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies in the Messiah Yeshua. Where is Yeshua seated in heaven? At the right hand of Yehovah. Where are we seated in heaven? At the right hand of Yehovah. Benjamin's name foreshadowed the great apostle Shaul of Benjamin, who would preach to us so much about how we are the right hand of Yehovah in Mashiach. We were put into Mashiach, we therefore died, were buried, and resurrected, and then ascended with him. And if Mashiach is at the right hand of the Father, that is where we are. If the scripture says it, I believe it, and that settles it. I'm literal. We are sons and daughters of the right hand. Remembering that in heaven there is no sexual differences, for all of the sons are also the bride of Mashiach. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 1 it says, I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, having been sealed with seven seals. Where was the book? In the right hand. Taking the book meant salvation. In Revelation chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, it says, and no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look at it. And I wept much because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look at it. And one of the elders said to me, do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Yehudah, the root of David, overcame to open the scroll and to loosen its seven seals. And I looked and saw in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, a lamb standing, as having been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of Elohim sent out into all the earth. And he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him sitting on the throne. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, and they sang a renewed song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and you have redeemed us to Elohim by your blood out of every tribe and tongue, people and nation. Redemption was made when Yeshua, the Lamb, took the book from the right hand of Yehovah. In order to take the book, one had to go to the right hand. Nobody else was worthy to go there, but Yeshua went. And then we read in Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened up one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, like a sound of thunder, come and see. Jochanan had to go to the right hand to see it. So now Jochanan is at the right hand with Yeshua in Mashiach. We are all at the right hand of Elohim. And we read of the Binyamini in Judges chapter 3, verses 14 to 22. In Shoftim it says, the children of Israel served Eglon, sovereign of Moab, 18 years. And when the children of Israel cried out to Yehovah, Yehovah raised up a saviour for them, Echad, son of Gera, a Binyamini, a man impeded in his right hand. And by him the children of Israel sent a present to Eglon, sovereign of Moab. And Echad made himself a sword, and it was a double-edged and a cubit in length. And he girded it under his long robe on his right thigh. And he brought the present to Eglon, sovereign of Moab. Now Eglon was a very fat man. And it came to be that when he had finished bringing near the present, he sent away the people bearing the present, but he himself turned back from the stone images that were at Gilgal and said, I have a secret message for you, O sovereign. And he said, be silent. And all those standing beside him went out from him. And Ahad came to him while he was sitting in his cool roof room. And Ahad said, I have a message from Elohim for you. So he rose from his seat, and Ahad reached with his left hand and took the sword from his right thigh and thrust it into his stomach, and the handle went in after the blade. The flat closed over the blade, for he did not draw the sword out of his stomach, and it came out behind. Shaul was like that Binyamini. He had a message. Eglon was a wicked, dominating man. He represented the old man that was in us before we were cleansed by Shaul, that Shaul spoke about, before we were cleansed by Yeshua. Ehud, the Binyamini, made a dagger. Swords and knives represent the word of Elohim. The word of Elohim is the sword that we have in our hand that we can speak out against any word spoken against the evil one. Yeshua was a good example of that. When he was first came into ministry and he was attacked by the adversary after his 40-day fast. And three times the adversary attacked him. And three times he went back with the word, it is written, it is written, it is written. We have to always take that sword in our hands when things are going not too good for us and we don't know where to turn. You don't have to open it, but you need it in your right hand to pray and ask Yah what to do. Then he might give you a scripture for you to open. But you have to ask him first. He's a gentleman. He won't step in unless he's asked. We have to use our prayer languages. We have to use our voices. We have to ask him. He's not going to do anything for us if we don't ask. So Shaul's teachings tell us how to let Yehovah have his way, and that it is what kills this flesh king that is within us. It tells us that the flesh cannot serve Yehovah. The carnal mind is against Yehovah. Yah, through his word, teaches us that we died with Mashiach and have his Ruach, or spirit, in us so that he can work in our lives. It tells us that when we try to do our best and make ourselves more holy, we are already set apart in Mashiach, so we must stop trying to work to make ourselves holy. Yah does that. The Ruach HaKodesh does that. Yes, we have to be careful of what we do, how we do it, but we don't have to strive for anything. As long as we strive to be the best we can be, we don't have to push ourselves forward. We don't have to do things that aren't normal, because Yah provides and he sets you apart. He gives you your ministry. It's nothing you have to do. Yah will give it to you. He knows the desires of your heart. He put them there. He knows your thoughts before you think them. Holiness is being set apart from this world unto Yah. We have to separate ourselves from the unholy. That is all we need to do. Separate ourselves from the things of this world, which to me includes social networking of any kind. Malachi and I refused to use it since day one, and we praise Yah that he prevented us from using it. The happenings of this world at the moment that we speak, and the things that we put in newsletters, would have had this ministry blacklisted and banned on these platforms. We would even be banned from YouTube if our teachings and services were uploaded there. And yes, I've had people wanting to put my messages on YouTube, and I kept saying, nope, no, no. If people want to hear my messages, they can go to our website. They're welcome to go to our website. They're welcome to open up any message and listen to it. But I'm not putting it out there on YouTube. And I'm pleased I didn't. Because now what's happening with YouTube? Everything's being shut down. The temple, where was I? So if it is Yeshua who saves us, we don't save us, we don't save other people. We can lead them to salvation, but it's Yeshua that does the saving. So there's nothing that we can do in the natural that can bring about our salvation. Yehovah gave a word to Shaul to deliver us in order to kill this fleshly ritual and fleshly tradition and fleshly religion out of our bodies. He said we must worship Elohim in the Ruach or in the Spirit. Did you know that there are no holy places left in the world today? I'm sure you've all heard of Lourdes of France. It doesn't exist anymore. It is no more holy than a back alley of any worldly city. The so-called Holy Land is no more holy than Disneyland. If you go around Tel Aviv, there's prostitutes everywhere. There's gay Mardi Gras going through the streets of Jerusalem and Haifa and Tel Aviv. It's not a holy land. It's meant to be, but it's not. As I said, prostitution is rife in Tel Aviv. Actually, they go on bikes, flicking out all these cards everywhere so that people can pick them up, and they're all on prostitutes. The places like so-called holy places like Beit Lechem, the Machpelah Caves, and even the Temple Mount itself are places of murder and destruction, and certainly not safe places to be without security or protection. It is not safe to go down through the gate and right down through that Arab quarter to the Western Wall. And as to going from Machpelah, it's not safe to go there at all. It may be the promised land, but it certainly isn't the holy or set-apart land unto Yehovah that it was meant to be. The place where Yehovah wants us to worship is in our spirits and in our hearts. He wants us to do it in truth, which means it's in a state of sincerity and honesty, truly worshipping and not going through mere show and gestures. Shaul kills fleshly religion with this world. In Shamuel Aleph 1 Samuel chapter 4 verses 2 to 18, it says, "And the Philistine put themselves in a battle array against Israel. And when the battle spread, Israel was smitten by the Philistine, who killed about 4,000 men of the army in the field. And when the people came into the camp, the elders of Israel said, 'Why has Yehovah smitten us today before the Philistine? Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of Yehovah from Shiloh to us, so that he comes into our midst and saves us from the hand of our enemies.' And the people sent to Shiloh, and they brought from them the Ark of the Covenant of Yehovah of hosts, dwelling between the Keruvim. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Pinchas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of Elohim. And when the Ark of the Covenant of Yehovah came into the camp, all Israel shouted so loudly that the earth shook. And when the Philistine heard the noise of the shout, they said, 'What is this noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?' And when they knew that the Ark of Yehovah had come into the camp, the Philistine were afraid, for they said, 'Elohim has come into the camp.' And they said, 'Woe to us, for it has never been like this before. Woe to us. Who shall deliver us from the hand of the mighty Elohim?' These are the Elohim who smote the Mitzrayim with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and be men, you Philistim, that you do not become servants of the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Be men and fight. And the Philistim fought, and Israel was smitten, and every man fled to his tent. And the slaughter was very great, and there fell Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. And the ark of Elohim was captured, and the two sons of Eli died, Hophni and Pinchas. And the man of Benjamin ran from the battle line the same day and came to Shiloh with his garments torn and dirt on his head. And he came in and he saw Eli sitting on a seat by the wayside watching for his heart trembled for the ark of Elohim. And the man came into the city and reported it, and the city cried out. And Eli heard the noise of the outcry and said, "What is the noise of this uproar?" And the men came hastily and informed Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were so dim that he was unable to see. And the man said to Eli, "I am he who came from the battle. I fled today from the battle line." And he said, "What was the matter, my son?" And the messenger answered and said, "Israel has fled before the Philistine, and there has been a great slaughter among the people. Your two sons have died, Hophni and Pinchas, and the ark of Elohim has been captured." And it came to be when he made mention of the ark of Elohim that Eli fell off the seat backwards by the side of the gate, and his neck was broken, and he died. For the man was old and heavy, and he ruled Israel for 40 years. Now we have to note that the ark was taken from its place, where it was in Shiloh, to the enemy. Yeshua is a representation by the ark, which is Yehovah's presence. Yehovah was always in the presence on the mercy seat. When the ark was taken, Hophni and Pinchas were slain. These boys were wicked priests. Their names, Hophni, means fist fighter, and Pinchas actually means mouth of the serpent. These men in this story speak of fleshly and carnal and even bad religion again. They are the sons of the prophet Eli, who is a fat man, heavy of flesh, also speaks spiritually of too much fleshliness and carnality. Son of Benjamin comes to Eli, who is called an old man. He tells Eli a message. The ark is taken and his sons was killed. Yeshua was taken into the enemy's territory when he died on the stake. Shaul spoke about the old man that was crucified. The old man is the old man within us before we were saved. In Messianic Jews, Hebrews, chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, "Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself similarly shared in the same, so that by the means of his death he might destroy him having the power of death, that is, the devil." Yeshua was taken into hell's territory. If that was not territory of his enemies, I don't know what is. Little did they know that that would happen. But immediately Hophni and Pinchas were killed. The old man represents the person we used to be, the unbeliever. If you are not renewed in your spirit, you are what you're all called, the old man. In Romans 6 and verse 6 it says, "Knowing this, that our old man was impaled with him, so that the body of sin might be rendered powerless to serve sin no longer." When Yeshua died, the old man died. And the sons of this old man represents the offspring of the fleshly man. The sins we committed that our flesh simply let happen, all of them are killed. I thank Yah daily that my old life was crucified with Yeshua, and all the offspring of my sinful life, all the sins I committed, were killed too. Shamuel Aleph, or 1 Samuel 4:16 says, "The man said to Eli, 'I am he who came from the battle. I fled today from the battle line. And he said, what was the matter, my son? Or in other words, what was done? The work of Yeshua is all done. There is no more work to be done. Yeshua, when he died and cried out, it is finished. What is finished? Everything that had to be done to kill the old man in us. The fist fighter of us all died. The serpent tongue of us all died. We often think we need Yah to do something, but we don't, because it is done. What is done, my son, not what is going to be done. It is done. Eli fell back and broke his neck and died. Our old man is crucified with Yeshua, like Eli. We need to study our scriptures daily. We need to check chapter and verse and not listen to man. We need to keep our brains with us. We need to learn that scriptures say about Yeshua's death, burial, and resurrection. Let us not reject him just because it does not fit into our idea of what a Torah observant believer is. We need to learn what the scriptures say that belief in Yeshua and observance of his Torah is all about. We need to renew our minds to what is truth. Let me assure you, there's no ritual needed. There's no ritual involved. It must come through a revelation by the Ruach HaKodesh. I cannot tell you how to walk your walk with Yah. Each walk is personal. What I can tell you is to study his word and ask of him your next step. We all mature in him in different ways and at different paces. It is your daily walk with Yah that matters the most, as that is what we will all be judged on at the time of judgment. I cannot teach you everything that you need to know, because I do not know everything that you need to know. Yah does. Yeshua said in Galatians 1:12, for I did not receive it from man, nor was I taught it, but through a revelation of Yeshua, the Messiah. Yehovah gave the message. It's not a fleshly man-made message. We cannot depend on man to feed us each week. Many people do not agree that we need the Ruach HaKodesh. But without the Ruach HaKodesh speaking to the Ruach within us, we would not receive any revelation, be it from Scripture or Yehovah's voice, let alone the voice of man. The voice of man can give you guidance, but what you do with it is up to you. Please let me implore you, trust the Scriptures. Test everything before you put your trust in man. Romans 8 and verse 9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, or the Ruach. If indeed the Ruach of Elohim dwells in you, and if anyone does not have the Ruach of the Messiah, this one is not his. Sheol divided the spoil in the night time of his life. He was used mightily by Yehovah to teach the power of the stake. He shared with us that we are already dead with Mashiach. The old us is gone and buried. I should have been crucified. No, I was crucified with Mashiach. And Sheol certainly brings the message of the Binyamani. Let us now use the cup of redemption as we go to the remembrance service that reminds us weekly the price that Yeshua paid on the stake so that we too can sit alongside him at the right hand of Yehovah.